This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ripped.
NASCAR.
Four-time Cup champion, Jeff Gordon.
I definitely know where you're coming from, and that's what it really truly takes.
IndyCar.
She's the newest IndyCar Series winner, Danica Patrick.
I know. Yeah, let's do it.
Formula One.
From the driver's perspective, David Hobbs.
To not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling.
Sports cars.
He's been unstoppable in the factory Corvettes, Johnny O'Connell.
It's very cool to be talking to you this time all the way from Le Mans, France.
And NHRA drag racing.
NHRA funny car champ, John Force.
Big money, all the money's here. It's just a race everybody wants to win.
WFO Radio is Total Motorsports.
Bring it on.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition. And drop the hammer. Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone listening around the world on the WFO Radio application and in front of their desktop computers like in 1985 or something. They didn't have desktop computers in 1985, certainly weren't connected to the internet. What's up, everybody? We are back, baby. We are back and bigger and better than ever because it's Memorial Day weekend. This weekend is Memorial Day weekend, the greatest weekend in all of racing, and I'm already getting ready to do nothing. I'm getting prepared to vegetate. I'm getting ready to just sit in bed all day long and eat the bonbons and crumbs all over me, just taking in all kinds of racing, starting out first thing in the morning with the Grand Prix of Monaco, and then moving into the greatest spectacle of racing in racing, the Indianapolis 500. And then later on in the day, the Coca-Cola 600 up until like 10:30 at night, when I will then pass out from consumption, overconsumption, and celebration of my Americanness. I'm looking forward to it. But if you really think about it, though, the Memorial Day weekend is a solemn weekend. It is Memorial Day, where we pay tribute to those who have given the ultimate sacrifice to our great nation, which we love so much. And, you know, we race on Sunday, and I'm looking forward to it. All right, let's get into it. First, by starting off and welcoming all the new listeners out there. I know a lot of you just clicked the ignition button in the WFO Radio archive. You're downloading that app. It's free. Why not? Let's check it out. Who are these guys? What do they do? We do a motorsports talk show. We try our best to be entertaining as best as we can. Sometimes we hit. Other times, not so much. We have a devout, diehard fan base that has been with us for a long, long time and is growing at all times, posting and tweeting and retweeting and all of that. And we cover all forms of racing. If it's got wheels, an engine, and a driver, we're pretty much on it for the most part. And we try to squeeze as much as we can, 10 pounds of stuff into a 5-pound bag here on the Ignition Show. We have another show called NHRA Nitro, which you can guess what that's about. The NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, which this past weekend I was out in Topeka, Kansas. And I've got lots of great stories about it. Before we get into it, though, let's bring the great Giovanni in Miami. From Miami, or in Miami? Which are you?
I guess I'm in Miami.
You're in Miami, but you're from Miami. But right now, you're not in Miami. You're in Broward.
That's right. So I guess at this point, I'm from Miami.
Giovanni from Miami. Hey, there he is.
Hey.
So what's up, buddy? How's it going?
It is great.
Yeah? How'd you like that NASCAR All-Star race this Saturday night under the lights? I thought it was,
It's a bit long, all that
introduction. There was a rain delay that was an hour that made it feel really long. I was sitting in a bar in Topeka, Kansas. So, boy, did it feel long, sitting there on a stool, watching on a screen. Because there was no speed in the hotel.
Oh.
And so
The speed channel's not always in the hotel. But I bet you starting August or June or whatever, July, whatever date it is, they're going to have Fox Sports 1.
Maybe not. I thought you have to have speed, and then it'll just be Fox Sports 1. There's new cable operators picking up Fox Sports 1.
I'm sure Fox is, you know,
forcing
twisting
them
arms over there. And
I don't think so.
Wheeling and dealing to get their, you don't think so?
Their ESPN version, their That's, ESPN knockoff.
Yeah. And clearly there's going to be a number two if there's a one behind it.
Oh, yeah, there'll be four and five. I don't know. Look, I got a lot to get into today. I said that 10 times last week before we got to the first break. I got a lot to get into, and I didn't even get to all of it, which is the worst thing. When we finish the show, when we wrap the show, at the end of it, there's always something I didn't get into. And, folks, I really want to talk about the Indy 500 this week And I am not going to paint a rosy picture. I'm going to paint, it's going to be doom and gloom, negativity. And I'm sorry, I consider myself a very positive person generally, and I'm not feeling it right now. And I'm going to throw out some ideas and opinions about the Indianapolis 500 race, the greatest spectacle in racing. I have seen three live. I recommend it to everyone. When it comes to pomp and circumstance, there is nothing greater, so much so that I had to even bring Giovanni here one year in our first year of WFO Radio. And you can go back into the archive and hear all of that, see some of the YouTube videos we did. Fortunately, with our internet platform, you can go back in time and check all that out when we were young and skinny. But I wanted one of my great friends to experience it, to understand what a big, massive deal the Indianapolis 500 is, how it is beyond anything you can comprehend, especially from the insider race driver standpoint. I'm sure fans get out there and they just party and hoot and holler and the race starts and the race finishes and they have some beers and they walk home barefoot. But some of them.
But no, they just walk across the street to that lot, that party
to that on. To that lot, right. There's just so many different things. In fact, I wonder if our Indy 500 Girls Go WFO video is still getting hits this year because of the Indy 500.
Sure is. We got to pop it up, put it right to the front this weekend.
We really should because I'm sure it's the same. That whole party that's going out on Georgetown, which was exciting. Just so many stories.
A little Mardi Gras in May.
It is a little Mardi Gras in May is a great way to say it. And then those guys, remember those guys, the end of the world is near, repent. And they were all confined to the same section with their little speakers shouting at us.
It was the megaphones. It wasn't the speaker. Well, remember, everything. There was a dude with like an amp and a microphone, a little speaker. There was a dude with a megaphone.
You will burn. You will burn. Burn. You're going to burn. And the lake of fire is coming for you. You will burn. You'd feel the wrath.
And it was whoa, man. I thought we're here for a race. All kinds of different things going on. Oh, that's a pleasant memory. Of all the things that happen, I of course, bring up those guys. They affected me, man. I get frightened by people like that.
That's
you're,
all right.
You're in the month of May. It's Indianapolis. It's the Indianapolis 500. You're going there. What are you going there for? Going there
to get
on your speaker and tell people that the world is ending. And guess what? 5 years later. Anyway. I apologize. Just so much to apologize for here on the show. NASCAR's All-Star Race was Saturday night, and let's see. Let's go over our notes. Busch Brothers dominate. Jimmy Johnson wins. Everybody agree with those notes? I do.
Yeah.
Giovanni?
That's exactly what I wrote. I actually wrote the Bushes dominate. Jimmy wins.
Yes.
That's exactly what happened.
There were some other drivers that kind of got up into the mix. Joy did pretty well, got into the mix late. Dale Jr. was in the mix, and then just a bad pit stop, fell back. Got to have track position. That's the problem with the 10-lap sprint, is that if you don't start out with track position, you can't win. But in a 20-lap segment, if you don't have track position, you're probably not going to win anyway. And I'm going to throw it back to this idea, which is this is still the first year of a totally new car, and it's going to take some time for people to figure it out. And who's going to figure it out the best in the beginning? Jimmy and Chad. Which is why, in our tailgate party pick segment last week, I picked Jimmy and Chad. And who won? Jimmy and Chad. So that's another win for the WFO Radio tailgate party handicappers. How many is that? What is our score so far this season, Giovanni? Where are we against the Vegas odds?
Eight winners in 12 races. Well, you know, 11 races plus the All-Star race.
Yes.
Counted like that. 8 winners in 12 races.
My goodness.
That is a 75% win percentage for those of you that are mathematically deficient.
Wow. Against in NASCAR. Now, the show, of course, we each make 2 picks, but it's hard. It's 43 drivers. Come on. It's ridiculous. It's insanity picking auto racing the
Dude,
way
we are.
We are
the greatest handicappers of all time.
All time. Definitely.
As a collective.
Now, there is a little bit of a controversy there because, well...
Actually, here.
With the pick segment, there's a controversy. Bob Smith, unfortunately, and I'm very happy to share the victory with Bob. But we have an order, and the order is based on rules. Society is based on rules and laws, and the rules are the guy who is the highest placing finisher the previous week gets to pick first. It's a benefit. It's a reward for being great. And last week, I won, and I was great, and so I got to pick first, and so I picked my drivers.
Joe was great.
Yep. And Bob, because there was a lot going on, and everybody's busy, and there's a lot going on, and ins and outs, and ups and downs, and all of this stuff, what have yous, Bob picked the same drivers as me, which is very uncharacteristic, because Bob did not get to see what our picks were, because the odds were sent out very late, because I think it was the All-Star week, and everybody was on the back foot. But that's not my fault, so I'm throwing it out there on the table for the great Giovanni in Miami to what happens there. Bob and I both get a win, even though he just duplicated my picks. Both of them. Jimmy Johnson and Dale Jr.
I thought that was pretty funny, actually. And the fact that if you see the email as it came out, Bob kind of just said, hey, I got to run. I'm going to make my pick. Here it is. And he put it way down. Like, you had to scroll like
right.
5 pages down. And as I look, it's...
Same picks as me.
Exactly the same.
To his credit, though, I mean, he didn't get the odds until very late.
No, that's what happened. There weren't any odds out until we had already started the show.
On the show.
When Bob sent it out, correct. When Bob sent it, that's the time that they came out.
We almost didn't even make the pick segment, but we decided to do it. And Tommy Noodle sent an email in after the fact, and Bob Smith, and a lot of this stuff happened after the fact for you loyal listeners out there. But we made our picks, and my picks were right. And I made the pick, and I picked right, right?
That's all that matters. The show picked another winner.
Yes. So in the overall score, is Bob still one ahead of me, or are we tied?
You're tied.
This is a controversy.
We'll have to see. This is the kind of stuff we put it out to the table of the handicappers. But I think being things went.
Let's see how it all turns out. I mean, I don't want to discredit anybody.
We'll see how it goes
at
the end of the year, but right now we'll give you guys a tie.
Okay. I like it right now. It's definitely that there's something is up. We're going to have to adjust at a later date.
And that's back-to-back winners for you.
Yeah, back-to-back winners for me. That's right. It's about to be 3 in a row. Get ready. I'm heating back up. I got the fire. So let's talk All-Star Race. Jimmy Johnson wins, and my formula, and Bob has been successful with this formula too. Something new at a new place, Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus are going to, chances are, overcome, which is why chances are they're going to win the title this year. Chances are they're going to be better than everyone over the final 10 races because they are just generally better. Jimmy becomes the first 4-time winner of the All-Star Race, eclipses greats like Dale Earnhardt. Think about that. And do you think this is going to be his last All-Star Race win? Probably not. The rules are always different. They're ever-changing. And Jimmy Johnson overcomes. You cannot say enough about this guy. I hate to even say he is hated by many fans out there because it tarnishes what should be the utmost perfection when it comes to his shine on him. He is really, really the best we have seen since Jeff Gordon, who was the best we saw since Dale Earnhardt, who was the best we saw since Darrell Waltrip, who was the best we saw since Richard Petty. Right? I mean, we could mince a couple of terms and words, and someone will say Cale Yarborough and David Pearson. Okay, we can debate there. But there is no debating Jimmy Johnson. Who is his next closest rival? Go. It ain't Kyle Busch. Don't come at me with Kyle Busch. Tony Stewart?
Yeah. Oh, in terms of overall career, but realistically, it's not even close.
It's not even close.
I mean, yeah, 3 championships, 5 championships, but Jimmy's got so many more wins, and his career seems to have been more dominant. When he wins 5, 6, 7, 8. 10 races.
3 independent championships for Tony at different times, different situations. They will all have their own character to them. We can analyze them if we want.
So, right. It's an overall encompassing career. where Jimmy was just hammer five in a row right at you. Bam, bam, bam,
finished,
bam,
like,
bam.
Like second in his first year. Remember?
In his first couple of years. He kept coming in second.
He was in the top five every single year. It's been total nonstop Jimmy Johnson utter domination since he arrived. And it never has stopped. Even the year he finished, whatever, sixth in the points. He had horrific luck, and you knew he was, like, percolating, like, maybe will he get back in it? Like in the zombie movie where the zombie keeps coming up, and no, finally they put him down with a couple of crashes. The guy is unreal. With Chad Knaus, it's the team and the combination that's doing it, but that's the reality. And until they break up, look out. He's the best there has been, the best there is, and until someone is able to, probably the best there will be. No one is winning five in a row. Nobody. Never. Never.
How
I can say that. I can throw that on the table. Never, ever, ever will anybody win five in a row in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series ever again in your lifetime. And you can call me. I'll give you my phone number the day it happens so you can call and tell me in person. It has to happen first, then I'll give you the number. You were going to read a stat?
62 wins already.
Yeah.
62.
I know.
I mean, he can catch Gordo in nothing in no time.
Retire right now. You're automatic first ballot NASCAR Hall of Famer. Speaking of which, they will announce that at some point during the show. We'll hopefully have that information for you.
He is
essentially Jimmy and Chad.
Unbelievable.
It really is. But what's funny is, do a comparison, if you can, first to 62 wins and how many races, Jeff Gordon or Jimmy Johnson, and I think Jeff got there quicker.
Yes, he was.
We have
done this, and yes, and Jeff was on a quicker pace. And then
that's the insanity. And what happened? Ray Evernham took the Mopar money to start his own team and went off in his own direction. And Mr. H locked Jeff down.
Broke
up the band. And since racing is so much about chemistry, so much about knowing the guy you're working with and locking that aspect of it down, that Jeff and Ray broke up. Had they stayed together, maybe Jeff would have won 120 races. Maybe they would have won 8 championships. Who knows? But Ray wanted to be a team owner. You cannot blame him for going in his own direction. But the band got broken up. You know, maybe the Beatles would have put out some incredible music, the likes of which we never have heard, and it would have been the best thing ever. The band broke up. And that's the way it is. Let's hear from the winners. Jimmy Johnson, unreal, goes out there, final 10 laps, just steals the victory and dominates.
It didn't do us any favors qualifying yesterday. And with this average that we had through the first four segments, I was really fearful I wouldn't have a shot at a front row start or a second row start. And I felt like the winner would come from one of those two rows. You know, not to state the obvious, but that's, you know, really the goal from all of us is to try to be on that front row for the final restart. And through, you know, a lot of aggressive driving, a great handling race car, you know, a lot of different things, Chad's strategy at different times to have us on better tires than some cars that were around us, we were able to keep clicking away at good finishes through the second, third, and fourth segment. And that got us to fourth. And then pit road came around, and our guys, you know, had an awesome pit stop, and we almost got off pit road first, but we're on the front row, and the front row is what we needed, you know, and for 10 laps. Casey and I pretty much ran wide open around here for two or three laps side by side, and I was finally able to edge by him and have the track to myself and put some distance on him.
And drive away and dominate and take what was kind of a lazy victory at the end. The first five laps were really good, and then that was it. And that's the problem. You don't see a lot of those to-the-stripe battles. And I think that is something that has to do with the new car, at least in this case. Maybe it was different before. We got to give these guys a little time. Casey put up a fight. You just want to see that fight last the 10 laps. And it did not. What else does Jimmy have to say?
I still have a lot of years left in my career. And that's something that, you know, the public, the mass, that's what other people come up with. I don't think it's right for me to sit here and say, hey, I'm this guy. I'm the guy or anything in between. So very proud of what I've accomplished, but I still feel like there's a lot more left that I can do in this sport and work hard to do that. And when I'm old and sitting in a rocking chair, hopefully people think highly of what I've done and you know, give me a tip of the hat.
They will. They should. They're witnessing incredible stuff right now. And even the haters will come around as they age. They just They just can't stand this guy because he's so good. He wins all the time. He's on the cover of, like, Men's Fitness or something. I was in the airport looking at all these model types on the magazines. Is Robert
Men's
Downey
Health, maybe?
One of them?
One of those.
You know, how to get great abs. And there's Jimmy Johnson. The guy has got just tremendous crossover appeal, and it's a shame. It's a crying shame that the NASCAR core cannot get with him because they just can't. He's not from the South. I don't even know if that's it. He's too polished, or maybe I don't know what it is, but there's just so many fans.
What I've heard is people think he's fake.
He is a little fake, just like you're fake when you go to your job, right? You don't go hooting and hollering and going crazy, woo, and drinking a beer and running around and doing what you do at home. Well, his job happens to be on TV, and he's on all the time with cameras in his face. You don't act exactly the way you act at home when you're at work, do you? Well, Jimmy is on at work when you guys are watching him. Why am I yelling at my audience? I don't mean you guys. I mean those people who hate him, who say that he's fake. Yes, he's fake. You're all fake. You're all a bunch of fakers. I'm a faker too.
Phony.
We're all phony because you act differently at work in the company of the people who pay you than you do when you're home with your family and your buddies. So is that being a faker or is that being really smart and well thought out and a professional? You tell me. I think that Jimmy is doing what he's got to do. I'm reading this Bill Simpson book from Simpson Safety Equipment and Impact Safety Equipment, Through the Fire.
The belts and the helmets.
He set himself on fire. Great, super awesome read. And he talks about, he has a whole chapter devoted to the racers from the past, who are all these hard scrabble, tough dudes, and the racers from today, who are sissies, right? And he goes out of his way to point out Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon as tough racers who would have kicked butt back then. And Kyle Busch, the three that he names as racers, like guys who could have succeeded in any era. And I think he would probably know. He really gets after a lot of the young drivers without mentioning names. And we'll get into that more in the coming weeks here on the show. Coming home second was Joy Logano.
Yeah, I thought all my guys did a great job calling the race, keeping that average finish up. I felt like we were a fifth to sixth place car in the beginning part of the race, and then we just need a track position, and I felt like if we got our track position, we could run decent. So we averaged up, I think we averaged fifth, and then we came down pit road, beat one car out, which put us in the second row, and back in my mind, before the race started, I felt like I needed to be in the second row with 10 to go to at least have a shot at this thing. So my guys, they got me what I needed there, and then it was up to me to make the most of what I had, and I gave it everything I had. It's just the 48 was really, really fast. Once he got that clean air, he was gone, and we gave it all we had. All I can do is really hope for a caution and try to stack everything up and give it one more shot. But, second, nothing to hang our head down, but, it doesn't mean much when there's no points. You know, it's all about the $1 million tonight.
And there you have it. Joy, he did good, though. Remember a couple of weeks ago, everyone was after Joy. Remember Tony Stewart, who was attacking Joy? Remember that?
Why do you have to bring up old stuff, dude?
And Joy is still running well. All those people were saying Joy doesn't know what he's doing. Joy can't race. Joy doesn't know what's up. Well, Joy is looking pretty strong. Looking pretty strong out there. And coming home third was Kyle Busch.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, obviously, I felt like we had a really, really fast race car. The Snickers Bites Camry was awesome. Probably the best car here. Just, ran up front most of the night and had really good runs through the segments there. We won two of them, and average finish-wise, we were right there with Kurt, but he beat us out a little bit. But ultimately, it came down to pit road, and, where my guys always proves our worth. Unfortunately, tonight, we didn't have the best of stops, and come out third, and that was the race right there. You got to be on the front row if you're going to win this thing. And, unfortunately there on the restart, just getting side drafted and sucked around and hit from behind and loose and everything else. I had to finally get straight and get everybody off me to be able to race. And then once I could do that, I could go forward. So just another missed opportunity here with the best car with me behind the wheel and come home without a win.
Wow, Kyle, irritated.
Isn't he always when he doesn't win?
Yeah, whenever he doesn't win. But he's right, though. They dominate. They were up front all race long, and then Jimmy Johnson comes up and wins the race. And
Kurt, too? I was kind of rooting for Kurt.
I don't know what Kurt's going to have to do. He's so on the verge of a win, it's ridiculous how close he is.
And not just at a restrictor track or something like that.
No, everywhere. If anyone had any doubts about Kurt Busch's ability behind the wheel of a race car, you're finding out now, because he is clearly driving the wheels off of that race car.
He's proving he's a champ.
He's a champ. I like it. I think I'm totally in support of the move. I like seeing Kurt out there doing this. I'm really wondering why some major company, unless they're not wanted, I mean, maybe Furniture Row is more than capable of dropping the dime on this team, but why is someone not jumping all over that opportunity? All over that opportunity. Because there's a big time. Really? Okay, we're going to get into a lot of different things here on the show. Going to take a quick break, but I want to remind you all out there about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. If you've got a bucket list, if you want to drive a dragster, if you want to become a better driver, you can have one of the best ever teach you. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can get you up to speed in a quick way. And if you're a corporate group looking to build your team and have an experience, or if you're looking to just get out there and become a better bracket racer, you can do it all at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. And you can check them out by going to the banner ad right on the front page of WFOradio.com. Click it and check it out. All kinds of different programs, whether it be an alcohol funny car or just a super comp dragster, you can do it all at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Check them out. We'll be back after this.
This is WFO Radio. This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20, or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
For less than the price of a magazine, you get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just gotta pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Video. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
A whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
Welcome back to WFO Radio. Got a whole bunch of different races this weekend here, Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, normally I wouldn't let you behind the scenes, but I see that the Slash is calling me. Slash hasn't called me in like months, and Slash is calling me when we're doing the show. You know, I'm going to have to talk to the Slash later, though. Love the Slash. You know, if he had called on the actual house line, I would have had him on. But, you know, Slash. We haven't had Slash on the program in ages.
Can't even remember the last time he was on.
Well, he's a new papa. And so, obviously not sleeping. Not sleeping ever.
Isn't that the way it works?
Yeah, and he's got like a 9 to 7. So, all right. We already broke down the All-Star race. Just a couple of notes. I was out in Topeka, Kansas this past week. And speaking of Snickers, there's a brand new Mars candy factory being built out there. First one in 20 years. I thought that was an interesting economic note. That they're building a factory in Topeka, Kansas to make Mars candy. Isn't that cool? They say the community is going to benefit with like 300 to 400 jobs.
I think it's cool, period. Just like the whole manufacturing of candy and all those sweets and all that stuff is really impressive to me. I've seen some of those like big cookie machines and that stuff. It's out of control.
But also, our time at the Kansas Nationals with the NHRA, I met a lot of WFO radio listeners, and it was very cool meeting some of you. But I had my eye on the skies because I know about tornado watches, and there was actually a tornado watch during the race. And then the next day, the whole Moore, Oklahoma devastation, and probably should have started right at the beginning of the show. We did last night on Nitro just to wish our best to the victims out there and anyone in that area. Just a horrific nightmare of a situation in Tornado Alley. And there's not much we can say. I am without words about how horrific and nightmarish it must have been to be in that situation. We come from hurricane country, where a hurricane gives you 4 or 5 days warning in most cases. If you really
wanted to,
you could go to California. Whereas a tornado, they got 16 minutes notice. Now, they did know from days in advance that a storm would be going through that was going to have an extremely high likelihood of tornadoes, extreme tornadoes, and they were doing watches and warnings for all different areas.
What can you do about that? Nothing.
I don't know.
The only thing I can think of, just being from someone who lives in Hurricane Alley, as we call it, and what we do is we shutter our houses and stuff like that. I would say at some point they're going to have to start just building houses with all of them with an underground bunker, like some sort of safe underground type room where once that thing goes off, in a few minutes, everybody just goes downstairs in some kind of bunker type area. This is just me. I'm dumb.
Yes.
And
I just like to
blurt things out. But
I take that back. You probably are dumb and you do blurt things out. But in this case, you're probably right. Who are we to say these things?
But if I live there, these
people know this. Everybody knows that they live in Tornado Alley. And so I think everyone is asking the question, a tornado just like this ripped through there in 1999 and did exactly this. And many of the houses did get those safe rooms. And there were FEMA grants for people. The federal government gave schools and gave a lot of people grants to build these shelters. And that's what saved a lot of people. And so great. But it's just a horrific thing. And what's going to happen? You see those houses, they're made of sticks like the Three Little Pigs.
Yep.
And when you huff and you pluff and you blow the house in, if it's made of sticks, it's not going to stand up. Now, did you see those bricks and block houses were also knocked down too?
Look, 200 mile an hour type winds, there isn't much that's going to sustain that.
What about underground?
But that's what I'm saying.
If they start building their houses underground,
I would start thinking of doing stuff, not the whole house clearly, but at least like a basement room, something underground that if the rest of the top of the house goes, you could be safe and alive downstairs.
It's very –
that's all my thought.
It's just a horrific, horrible, nightmarish,
it's depressing
tragedy.
Come on, a direct hit on a school?
On a school, the kids down in there.
You know,
the
horrible. Last thing in the world is that you think of when you drop off your kids at school or daycare or wherever is that you may not see them at the end of the day. That's yes. That's the worst. That's
yes.
the worst.
But
thing.
This was the so, best place for them to be, though. This was a shelter, and it still was hit. It's not like someone came in and shot up the place. Not exactly the same.
No, but still.
You know, because no, that was forbid. That exact thing that you said was thrown out there a lot in the past, 6 months ago when that thing happened. Just so much craziness going on with schools the past couple of weeks.
Oh, well, but this is Mother Nature. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
But no, all I'm saying is to those people, like, if you have to live there, or you choose to live there, kind of like how we choose to live here.
Yes.
Just figure out somewhere to, like, keep yourself safe. It, you know, property comes and goes, but as long as you're alive to be able to do it again.
I think the answer is, and now we're talking tornadoes, and thank goodness Bobby's Bug Barn, our great friend Bobby Graham, says that's one of the reasons he loves this show, is because it goes in just totally different directions every once in a while. And yes, it does. I posted a video of this Oklahoma woman, and she's talking about how she lost her dog and how sad she was, and they look down in the rubble, and the dog is right there. On live TV, you can see that on the WFO Radio Facebook page. It'll make you feel better.
That is great.
But over the years here in South Florida, where hurricanes have been and could possibly come again, the code is ridiculous. Like they are constantly increasing the code, the doors, the insurance becomes unaffordable unless you have the code, something certain people are going through right now. Is that not the case in Kansas? Because these houses just wiped off the map. And the question is, aren't they going to be wiped off the map again in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? Isn't this going to continuously happen until we start, what, building communities underground or building the houses out of concrete with concrete ceilings? Or I don't know. I'm just like you, being stupid, blurting things
throwing
out. Throwing stuff on the wall. But at some point, if you live in Tornado Alley, you got to expect that at some point a tornado is going to come ripping through. Did you hear the stories about people down in their bunkers? Their bunkers were not even sufficient. The doors were ripped off the bunkers.
No, that's terrible. That's terrible.
And maybe someone will say, well, you know, you can't prepare for anything or everything. And isn't that the truth?
That is it. That's just it. But like I said, if you're going to live there, man, my suggestion is just do whatever you can for your personal safety. That's why
they don't have the money. Most people is the real answer. I was out there. I saw what the community looks like. Very nice. Nice people. Super friendly. I can't believe I'm getting to see the country the way I am. But
that's pretty awesome, huh?
It's interesting, yeah. And driving around.
Well, I mean, it's not like you're on vacation. I don't want.
No, I'm not on vacation. It's hard work. It's a lot of. I'm trying my hardest with this NHRA announcing deal, and there's a big time pressure packed environment. But getting off the plane and finding a 5.0 Mustang there waiting for me at the rental was awesome.
I saw it. The color was really nice too.
It was green, but people really
liked
it.
Lime green.
It's not what I would choose, but people really liked it. And it was, what a little hot rod. It was awesome. And there's an Air Force base out there, and I got to see all kinds of planes. And people were very, very nice in Topeka, Kansas. Like, very friendly. Now, you know, I don't know the economy of that area, but I do know that a lot of the houses looked kind of old. And, tornadoes hadn't taken them down. It's just a random occurrence, I guess. It's just unfortunate. It's like us thinking about how do you prevent a random occurrence that is just totally random. And the answer is you don't. You don't. Nature.
No, it's just sad. That's all it
is. It's really sad.
The devastation. It's just, it's unbelievable.
I was traveling. I got out of there Monday morning at like 10:30. And it was all going down that day. And my father told me what happened. And I, you know, okay. And then you saw what it was. Concrete slabs that were so clean, it looked like they were ready for the next house to be built on them. Like in many cases, there's no cleanup that has to be done because everything that was there is gone. And
that rubble, that post-storm rubble and that devastation is just too much.
And the videos all coming out on the cell phone cameras, just terrible. And we're going to try to have a good weekend here in Memorial Day. You know, talking about racing, talking about fun. Maybe that's why I'm in kind of a negative attitude. I want to get into it about the Indy 500, where Ed Carpenter is on the pole. That's a positive story. Ed Carpenter on the pole.
Hey, Fuzzy's Vodka.
Love Fuzzy Zeller, except for that whole, you know, collard greens comment.
It was fried chicken.
Yeah, both. Okay. Mentioned both. I just watched. It's funny that this has drummed up Fuzzy again. I met Fuzzy at Homestead. He was awesome. He was an awesome guy. He was super cool. And I thought he kind of got a bad rap for those comments. I felt like it was obviously a joke. Carlos Munoz, the youngest driver ever to sit on the front row at the Indy 500 in the middle of the front row. And Marco Andretti, who I think has got a big shot to win the race. But is it me? And it might be. Or has this Indy 500 received the least buzz of any Indy 500 you can remember?
I'd say almost non-existent. You actually have to look for it and look for stuff.
And I had a quick conversation with Carlos Hawkins stuff today, and I posed this question because I don't want to – maybe it's not me. Maybe my new responsibilities with the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, which has me at the track so much, so I can't be watching TV and I just look up news stories like I always do. Maybe that's why I don't feel the sensation of the month of May. And Carlos said, flat out, it's because they're not on ESPN. That ESPN is not throwing their full weight behind it. That SportsCenter is not originating from there. That because of the NBC involvement and qualifying being on NBC Sports, most people didn't see a lot of it. Was the qualifying on NBC Sports? Was it on ABC?
Yes, it was on NBC Sports. And that, I saw some of it on there. Like I said, I find it much easier to find where it is now in Channel 220. But that... not having the power of ESPN behind you is really huge.
Now, the race will be on the big network on ABC. ABC still owns the rights. But I am finding this troubling, especially since, as I mentioned, I'm reading this Bill Simpson book, Through the Fire, which I recommend. I'm going to try to, you know, I don't know. I got it handed to me at the Don Garlitz Drag Racing Hall of Fame event earlier this year. Decided to break it out on the airplane. And it's spectacular. It's a great read. And thinking about what Indy was and what Indy is depressed me. And here's where I'm going to say some things that maybe are incorrect, but ideas have to be exchanged. Please let me know what you think. 954-889-6796 or tweet at me or Facebook me or email me, joe@wforadio.com. The Indy 500, as well as other racing series, and all racing perhaps, is dealing with this challenge, is stagnant. Every car looks exactly the same. That's number one. I know they promised aero kits, and aero kits might be coming. And maybe that will alleviate some of this problem. But when you look at the cars, and everyone is exactly the same, I really think it takes something big away from it. Yes, you've got the combined series and you've got multiple engine manufacturers, but that doesn't improve the visual product at all. Sure, you got General Motors and Chevrolet and Honda and promoting in different directions, but the reality is all the cars look identical. They look exactly the same. And the driver lineup, and I like a lot of these guys. Like, let me ask you, who's the biggest star in IndyCar racing? Giovanni, biggest star?
Helio.
Elio? Okay. Elio has had his 15 minutes in the crossover world with Dancing with the Stars. He's a great driver, a three-time winner. He's Brazilian. So non-American, but would you say that the mainstream public, like, is eager to go watch Elio race?
No.
I don't think so.
But I think he is the guy that it probably has the highest Q rating and that kind of stuff now that Danica's gone. If you tell me, like, it should be somebody like Marco. It should be Marco, or now, if you really tell me who it's, the guy who's taking the reins is the henchman.
Hinchtown. Think about that. Think about Marco Andretti. I've had interaction with Marco. He was super nice, but let's be honest. A bit disappointing as a star driver. A bit disappointing as an IndyCar star. Has not lived up to what expectations were. But not even really filling the space required as a driver. Like, as a personality, Marco Andretti kind of shies away from the limelight. Maybe he shies away because he knows he's not winning left and right. And if he won left and right, he'd be more in the public light. I don't know. And I don't want to put thoughts into him. But IndyCar needs drivers out there. Is Marco out there? Do you see Marco anywhere?
No. Nope.
Do you hear Marco being interviewed all over the place and times other than the month of May, even during the month of May?
Today's the 22nd. I haven't seen him interviewed all month.
Who do you know and hear more from generally, James Hinchcliffe or Marco Andretti?
James Hinchcliffe.
By leaps and bounds. Why?
Because he's winning races, I guess.
And he wants
to. And he's got that outgoing personality. He's very personable.
He is outgoing personality. He wants to. He's got the want to factor. He knows he's got to go out and make the most of his opportunity, get it, seize it, earn it, love it, and make it. And that's what he's doing. All right? Ryan Hunter-Reay is the champion of the series. Very nice kid. Always been very nice to me. What is the Ryan Hunter-Reay fan base? Is there a Ryan Hunter-Reay fan base?
Yeah, the Eyes on T-shirt.
Does anyone know Ryan Hunter-Reay outside of IndyCar racing? If you went up to 100 fans in the grocery store and asked them to name an IndyCar driver, would any of them name Ryan Hunter-Reay? I don't think so.
No, he's casually I would say no.
Why not? Because he's kind of a vanilla character. He's a nice person, good driver, talented person, kind of a very super laid-back kid. He's from South Florida. He's from Delray Beach. He's just very neutral in his personality. Will Power? I'm reading right off the list here, man. Reading right off the list. A.J. Allmendinger? Why do people know A.J. Allmendinger?
Adderall.
Because of NASCAR.
Because he was a NASCAR driver.
Middle of row two, by the way. Excellent effort. That would be great. What if A.J. Allmendinger wins the Indy 500? Talk about a redemption story.
That would be really good for him.
That's an interesting story. So you got Ed Carpenter is an interesting story. Why? Underdog team. Can they pull off something big on the pole for the Indy 500? But you've heard next to no buzz about it. Ed Carpenter. A.J. Allmendinger. Inside the front row. But that's a NASCAR piggyback is what that is. Hinchtown. People know James Hinchcliffe. They're getting to know him. He's out there. He's pushing it.
GoDaddy also. You know, GoDaddy puts them out there.
GoDaddy
gives
them
a lot of airtime, commercials all over the place.
Tony Kanaan. What do you think when you hear Tony Kanaan? TK. Still not known by mainstream people.
No,
after all these
but
years.
I have seen him interviewed a lot this month.
Yeah. Well, he does the interviews, and he's a good guy, and he's good at that stuff, and he's trying real hard. Right? You know, let's go down the list. Row two, EJ Viso. Who spoke Spanish behind my back, and I did not like it. A.J. Allmendinger, middle of row two, and Will Power, outside of row two. Row three, Ryan Hunter-Reay, Elio Castroneves, and James Hinchcliffe. So you got your reigning champ, Elio, and Hinchtown. That's a high level of attention, row three. J.R. Hildebrand. You know J.R. Hildebrand? What's he known for?
I don't know.
Crashing in the final corner a couple of years ago
that's
in the
right.
National Guard car.
Oh.
He could have been a big story. National Guard, it was Memorial Day weekend, there was all kinds of big sub-stories, and he's coming down, he could get the rookie. Oh, boy. Alex Tagliani. Tony Kanaan, that's row four. Row five, Oriel Servia. Great driver. Great driver. A lot of talent. Kind of missed his window, but could easily win this race. He's a great driver. Is there, other than a diehard small group of extreme racing fan insiders, are there people who root for Oriel Servia? Like mainstreamers? No, they're diehards. What about Justin Wilson? No. What about Sebastian Bourdais? Yes, the nation of France. And Justin Wilson, he's got his countrymen. Scott Dixon, one of the greats of IndyCar. But what's his challenge? He's a muted personality, a muted analytical, not outgoing character. What about Dario? The winningest driver and maybe the greatest driver of this IndyCar era. A fantastic person and human being. What is Dario's biggest, most notable claim to fame in the mainstream world? Go.
Being married
to Ashley Judd. And by the way, I tested all these questions on Carlos Baccarin, and you're answering them exactly the same way.
Of course.
Now, Dario is a fantastic driver athlete, but he's not a...
Thank you.
What? Yeah. Well, exactly. not the kind of person that the mainstream public is going to rally around, because he's, you know, he's focused on the analytics of driving the car and not the outgoing driving of the show. It's a show, except it's a race. Takuma Sato, I actually like Takuma Sato. The entire nation of Japan going to be focused on him. Charlie Kimball, row 7. James Jakes, middle of row 7. Simon Pagenaud, outside of row 7. Characters need to do something. You know, Simon Pagenaud is a great driver. And
well, they all
stop
are.
Doing something. Yeah, you get to this point. Townsend Bell, row 8. Townsend is a great personality, but has never gotten the opportunity.
He's he could have been. Is that Bell that teaches the
no,
the
that's
sports car?
That's Derek Bell, oh, okay. And Justin Bell. Townsend Bell does has done some color commentary on the Formula One broadcasts occasionally. Filled in, did some Formula One racing years ago. Does a show occasionally, like those car shows. Townsend Bell.
Will Buxton was covering stuff at Indy.
Really?
Yeah,
that's great. He should. Ryan Briscoe. You know, I'm trying to be very. Ryan Briscoe, is there a giant fan base? Can the average American regular fan get behind Ryan Briscoe? Simona DiSilvestro, of course. She's a female who is trying to get done. There's Joseph Newgarden, Graham Rahal in row 9, Sebastian Saavedra. Graham Rahal people can get behind because of the Rahal name. Needs to do something. Needs to win a race. Needs to win 2 races. Needs to go on a run. Needs to get some attention. Needs to do some interviews. Needs to get out there. Needs to take the series and carry it on his back and do some exciting things and win some wheel-to-wheel stuff and then get on TV and hoot and crow about it and talk about it. Is any of that happening? No. Tristan Vautier, Anna Beatrice, Pippa Mann in row 10. Connor Daly. See, Connor Daly, I think, is a driver that is very, very interesting. Son of Derek Daly, and is trying to go that Formula One route. He's out there trying. Buddy Lazier and Catherine Legg. And there you have it, the starting lineup for the Indianapolis 500. So I don't want to be down or depressed about the IndyCar series. I just think that something needs to change. And when we come back, we'll talk about it right here on WFO Radio. I want to remind everybody, the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals, Bristol Dragway. If you're in that part of the country, if you're in the South, if you're in Tennessee and you're North Carolina and you're in South Carolina, you're in Georgia, wherever you are, if you're near Bristol Dragway and you've never been to this race, I highly recommend it. Check them out. Click the banner ad on the front page of WFOradio.com. It's Father's Day weekend. Take Dad and get out there. And if you're a dad, take your kids and you will enjoy the heck out of it. It is a premier facility. It is absolutely awesome. I've been there several times. And you're going to love it. Click that banner ad. Check them out. BristolDragway.com. The Ford Thunder Valley Nationals.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20, or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Hey, this is Carlos, WFO radio producer.
When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFOradio.com store for some really hot WFO Radio gear. Like the WFO Radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO New Era hats are on sale. Get a hat for your dad. Get a hat for your head. Or a sticker kit for your truck. WFO Radio gear is on sale at WFOradio.com. Get some.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
Just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
WFO Radio. Total Motorsports. Here's Joe Costello.
You know, we haven't even gotten into the whole Grand Prix of Monaco, but breaking news, breaking news, breaking news for everybody out there. The NASCAR Hall of Fame inductions have just come down, and I will tell you exactly where everybody ended up. The NASCAR Hall of Fame inductions. Here are the winners. The 2014 class for the NASCAR Hall of Fame. You don't have like a drum roll or anything?
Jimmy Johnson.
Producer guy? What do you mean? What is that? Did you just yell out Jimmy Johnson? What is that? What does that have to do with what I was doing? This just totally. All right. Tim Flock. And these are just a couple of notes coming right off of J-Ski, / NASCAR PR. Tim Flock, two-time NASCAR Premier Series champion. Flock was one of the first dominant drivers, 187 starts. He had 39 victories, total that still ranks 18th on the all-time wins list. Flock won his first series title in 1952 while driving Ted Chester's Hudson Hornet, and his second in 1955 driving for Carl Kiekhaefer in his Chrysler. One of the true super teams in the beginning. He dominated that season, posting a mere 18 wins, 32 top fives, and 18 poles in 39 races. Flock's 18 wins stood as a single-season victory record until Richard Petty surpassed it with 27 wins in 1967. Do you see why it's unfair to compare Richard Petty with his win total of 200 wins to anybody? That's unfair. 27 wins in one season. How many seasons does it take you?
Every day of the week, almost.
And every win counted. Right.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not quite the same when now there's a set schedule that's 36 only races. Whereas, you know, Richard might race 50 or 100 races a year.
And that's why it will never be fair, and the king will always be the king, because that 200 number is never, ever going to be eclipsed. Next. By the way, Tim Flock was great. Next up. Jack Ingram. The NASCAR Nationwide Series has had a variety of incarnations through the years, but when considered collectively, an argument can be made that Jack Ingram is the series' all-time greatest driver. Before the formation of the series, Ingram won three consecutive championships from 1972 to 1974 in its precursor, the late model Sportsman Division. When the NASCAR Busch Series was formed, he won the inaugural title in 1982 and again in 1985. In his 10 years of competition in what was called the NASCAR Busch Series, Ingram had 31 wins, a record that stood until Mark Martin broke it in 1997. All but two of Ingram's 31 wins came on short tracks. I don't have a problem with that. He's a lot of people have been kicking his name around for a while, and I'm okay with it. Some people said, well, you know, he's a Busch Series guy. But remember, back then, a lot of it was about money, as opposed to like a minor league kind of thing. Different cars.
That makes sense. I didn't realize that.
Next, and this is the controversial one. Next, this is the controversial one.
Go ahead. Oh.
Next, the controversial one. Dale Jarrett.
Oh, Hall of Famer right away.
Hall of Famer, first ballot. Dale Jarrett, personified.
No
big
brainer.
Stage performances. A three-time Daytona. three-time Daytona 500 winner, and two-time winner of the Brickyard 400.
That's what got him in right there. Well, that with the one championship. That's it. You can't beat that.
It's the numbers, man. It's about the numbers. And we debated this a little bit. When you write it like that, three-time Daytona 500 winner, two-time winner of the Brickyard 400, and they don't even talk about the championship until later. Jarrett excelled under NASCAR's brightest spotlights. His 32 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series victories, 21st of all time, also included the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Jarrett won the 1999 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series championship and recorded six additional top five championship finishes. With Father Ned, the Jarretts are the only... With Father Ned, the Jarretts are only the second father-son combination with NASCAR Premier Series championships after NASCAR Hall of Famers Lee and Richard Petty. Ned Jarrett was inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame in May 2011. Ned and Dale Jarrett become the third father-son duo selected to the NASCAR Hall of Fame following Bill France Sr. and Bill France Jr. and Lee and Richard Petty, Dale Jarrett. You know, I know we were kind of kicking it around, but the stats are pretty strong.
32 wins, man. 32 wins. That's only 30 less than Jimmy.
Not even the 32 wins.
No, it's look, it's the career. It's the races he won, and he was able towards the end to top it off with a championship. And we got to remember, Dale came from an era where they didn't put an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid behind a wheel.
Never. He had to fight and claw to get good equipment, which he finally did at the tail end.
Right. He helped the coach when he first came on, that the coach was like just getting started and had no funding, essentially.
The Dale and Dale Show held off Dale Earnhardt.
So
a great NASCAR moment.
In hindsight, we might have jumped the gun and been a little unfair towards Dale with our modern driver bias.
Yeah, probably. Look,
but
three Daytona 500s, two Brickyards, and a championship.
Oh, that's it.
32 wins.
And a Coke 600.
Not even including all he's done behind the microphone.
Correct.
Next. Maurice Petty. This is interesting. The chief engine builder at Petty Enterprises, Maurice Petty, becomes the fourth member of the dynasty to be chosen for membership in the NASCAR Hall of Fame, following his older brother Richard, Father Lee, and his cousin Dale Inman. The man, simply called a chief, supplied the horsepower that propelled Richard Petty to a majority of his record 200 NASCAR victories, plus seven NASCAR Premier Series championships and seven Daytona 500 victories. Lee Petty, Buddy Baker, Jim Paschal, and Pete Hamilton were also among those who won with his engines. Petty had a brief driving career, 26 Premier Series races with 7 top 5 and 16 top 10 finishes between 1960 and 1964, but was satisfied to work behind the scenes as one of the top engine builders ever seen in the sport, Maurice Petty. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I think that that's going to be a controversial pick, actually.
Because he's not a driver.
Because he's an engine guy. But I'm all for it. Without the engine guys, the drivers wouldn't win.
And especially back then when it was an in-house engine like that. Now it's like Hendrick's got like an engine factory.
Yeah, no, this guy was building stuff in barns and rooms and in not hospital-like conditions. It was different then. But I have a feeling people are not going to like that that one, Maurice Petty. And all the Petties are getting in, and everyone related to those teams are all getting in, which is fine. But let me ask you this, though. Just speculate, because it's just total speculation. But if I had to ask you, and all of you out there, if Maurice Petty's engines were to the letter of the rule book, do you think they were?
Of course they were.
Of course they were.
If they weren't, he would have been caught.
Yeah, I don't think so. But that was part of the sport back then, and that's what made it interesting. And finally, the final inductee for the 2014 NASCAR Hall of Fame. Fireball Roberts.
All right, NASCAR's first superstar.
Glenn Roberts, who got his legendary nickname, when, how, do you know?
Yeah, Bobby Bennett, he threw it high and tight.
Yeah, for his days as a hard-throwing pitcher in high school, is perhaps the greatest driver never to win a NASCAR title. He was arguably stock car racing's first superstar, an immensely popular prototype for some of today's competitors who are stars on and off the track. During his career, he often came up big in the biggest events, winning the Daytona 500 in 1962 and the Southern 500 in 1958 and 63. Overall, he won seven races at Daytona International Speedway, starting with the Firecracker 250 in the summer of 1959, the year the Speedway opened.
So he was there from the beginning.
Roberts, totally agree. Pontiac guy. Just want to point that out. Pontiac. Back in the days when Pontiac was dominating racing, Pontiac was the premier excitement brand, making the big power. Pontiac. All you Chevrolet people cowered at our feet. And now we don't exist anymore because of mismarketing management. Ridiculous. And there you have it. The NASCAR Hall of Fame inductees, class of 2014. Isn't that exciting? And now we're gonna bring you a quick break, and then we'll come back and reset with the Indy 500 discussion. Plus, we got to talk Grand Prix of Monaco and Fernando Alonso's win. You may not be too happy to know that, well, the hippie tippy and Tommy time will not be heard this evening. We'll tell you more after this.
This is WFO Radio. The one, the only, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
You gotta keep on keeping on. It's top fuel drag racing going 330 miles an hour. You never know what can happen, so hang on and we're having fun.
WFORadio.com.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Throughout history, man has marveled at the vast complexity of the universe. Without a single unified voice, humanity has been left searching for answers to the unknown. Now, one man has the power to change that and to spread his voice across the earth for all of mankind to hear. One man.
This is WFO Radio. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
Welcome back to WFO Radio Ignition. Hopefully we got some new listeners that have come to this point. You can call the show 954-88. Boy, that was a little over the top radio inflection there. Sorry. 954-889-6796. All right, folks, time for the bad news. The Tommy Time segment, for the second week in a row, will not be heard on WFO Radio. It pains me to say, but
what is going on?
I think Tommy Noodles has left the show. And I don't know what to say about it because I wasn't informed. There's definitely turmoil. I see Tommy out there tweeting and he's done, you know, a lot. He's telling people he's still on the show. But we have a schedule. Tommy does Tommy Time each week. He's responsible for it. He knows. He's got a call in his editorial. It's like a columnist that sends in his work every week and 2 weeks in a row. No Tommy Time.
Don't know what to do.
Now, I know he's got his own show going now on the Blog Talk Radio, and that's great.
He must not have enough time for us anymore.
That's what it is.
That's the reality.
That's what it is. At one point in the past, Tommy this outlet was the outlet that he had to share his opinions and stuff. And now he's got his own deal going. And it is what it is. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, I would have liked to call. Like, we've got, the guy and I have been, we've been friends dating back to 2004. And we speak, all, you know, we spoke all the time. And then after all this time, I feel like we're putting together the show. We tried so hard to incorporate the Tommy Noodles chaos into the show. And to not even, you know, to not even mention, like, hey, I don't want to do it anymore. Just to just not do it. Just to ignore it. To just not even mention it. Like, what's up with that? I mean, am I wrong for feeling...
Yeah, I think you care too much. Here's the problem. You just, you maybe, know what? You Tommy know, doesn't want to be on anymore. He's embarrassed to tell you. He's ashamed.
You think that? Maybe his health, some sort of thing, like I don't know about. You know, maybe he's in a ditch or something that I don't know about. You know, drove off the road. Like, what's that woman's name in South Florida? Tully Tullenberg or whatever her name was. She was stuck in a tree for like 2 months. She has
I have
to survive
no idea
on
what you're talking about.
Tic Tacs. You know her. Anyway, it's just a bit sad. Like, I'm kind of taken aback. It's Indy 500 a week after all those years. Me and Tommy going to the Indy 500 together, doing stuff. And here on Indy 500, he knows we do the show on. And it's a little sad. I'm a little down. But, you know, we got to keep on rolling. That's just, I guess that's just the way it's going to be. I don't have anything more to say. And then on the, just to kind of rub it in, what's annoying is the hippy tippy. Now that will not be heard on the show tonight either.
But there's a reason for that.
There is a reason for that.
I know.
The Tommy
know
thing,
it.
It's inexplicable. I got no clue. I'm kind of just, I love to let the audience behind the scenes so you know what's going on here. And right now it's just a sad time. But the hippy tippy is different. Folks, fantasy players, everybody, there will be no hippy tippy tonight. Why? Rich of the Dirty Hippies is on full protest because of Fernando Alonso's last victory.
You call it protest. I think he's curled up in the fetal position crying somewhere.
Whatever it is. I don't know what it is. But he knows. Again, he knows. Hippy tippy. He knows. He's the fantasy player. You know he's setting his fantasy team, right?
Of course.
You know he knows to set the fantasy team, right? You think Rich is going to have zeros on the board? He forgot to set his team? Oh, no. Of course not. He is deliberately not doing the hippy-tippy. Why?
Because he's upset.
He's angry about Fernando Alonso's domination. I know.
It's a protest.
It's very clear. It's very clear. There's no other explainable answer. Now, Mrs. Rich was also very irritated at me recently because I suggested that there were no female listeners to WFO Radio. And she says, you got a bunch of female listeners and they're in the fantasy league and they're whooping your butt. And so I had a nice back and forth with her. It wasn't even a back and forth. It was just a fourth and she stomped all over me. And she was right.
Isn't that the way that women do it? They just step all over you.
After listening to your show this week, I find it necessary to present you, Joe Costello, with the Mrs. Hippy Tippy of the Week. News flash, McFly. Women do listen to your show. In fact, the female listeners that I personally know that do indeed listen to your show are kicking not only your ass in fantasy, but Geo's too. How do you like them apples, mister? Says Mrs. Dirty Hippies.
Hey, I love the ladies, Mrs. Dirty Hippies. I never said anything bad about the ladies.
I think that post is the sexiest thing that's ever happened on the show.
It's pretty hot.
I loved it. It was so grammatically
attack,
correct.
Attack, attack.
And then she put one of those smiley faces. What are they called? Emocons? Is that what
emoji
they're called?
Emoji or something like that.
Emojis?
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
I don't even know. It's some app.
Yes. It is an app.
With all the little caricatures.
Well, it's on there, and it's a winking smiley face. I thought that was cool. Hey, Mrs. Hippy Tippy, pull your husband out from under the bed and make sure he watches the Grand Prix of Monaco on Sunday morning, because I think he's going to like some of those apples. Speaking of apples, as in red, as in Ferrari, get ready. Get some. But before I get into that, I want to get back to my depressing Indy 500 talk, because this is what I was really getting at before the NASCAR Hall of Fame stuff came out. Simple as this, all right? I'm going to make it short and sweet, which that's never happening on this show. I think the formula needs to change. I think that the Indy 500 needs to go back to some sort of open to everyone, all run type of program. I think that spec rules don't work. I think that spec rules at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is stunting potential growth. I think that they need to go back to innovation and pushing the edge of technology at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's what it has always been about. That is what made it popular, and that's what people want to see. As much as the cars navigating the strategy, they're going to make their five pit stops, someone's going to come out with a lead, and they're going to either hold on to the lead or they're not. We need to get back to something where new blood gets involved. New blood. I ran down that list of names that nobody cares about at all for the most part, and they're unknown and no one knows them. It's not a good thing. The Indianapolis Motor Speedway, I feel like I'm almost disrespecting it by saying this, but I'm not the only one who feels this way, and I'm coming upon this opinion as more time goes by. I want to see technology companies get involved. I want to see local independents who aren't committed to the entire series get involved. I'm tired of seeing every racecraft look exactly alike everywhere I go. It's one of the reasons I enjoy Formula One. I want to open up the rules so that our best and brightest can be creative and push. Now, what does that mean? Should we allow electric cars? Yes. Should we allow hybrid cars? Yes. Should we allow rocket cars? Yes. Should we allow internal combustion cars? Yes. Should we allow people to build cars in their backyard? I don't know, because there has to be a certain level of safety. Should SpaceX be allowed to get involved at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and see if they can innovate something that gets to the finish line first after 500 miles? Yes, I think. I'm not sure. I don't know. But I think that's where I'm getting. You know, I wish I could come on here and give you a defined opinion, but I'm sure there'd be like 50 people that could say, oh, that's wrong, because you put everybody out of business. And here's the answer. Nobody, everybody is not all going out of business. And if you drive away the Chip Ganassis and the Roger Penske's and the Indianapolis 500 is still there and the rules are open, someone new is going to come in. But Chip Ganassi and Roger Penske are not going anywhere. They're going to stick it out, no matter what the rules are. Same with Michael Andretti and a lot of the big teams. It's just these are the rules, and they're playing by the rules, kind of like Apple with their tax issue. Here, we're playing by the rules, man. The rules say we don't have to pay taxes on X amount of money. But if you change the rules, we'll play by the rules. And that's how most people feel. Something has to change. Something has to change. Things have to evolve. That's what we're learning about life. That's what we're learning about everything. Is that you, and when I say you, I mean rhetorically, of course, we, all of us, everything has to evolve, or it becomes stagnant and uninteresting. That's just the way it is. Look at NASCAR. NASCAR came up with this great idea, the car of tomorrow, and they boxed themselves into a corner. And to their credit, were smart enough to realize we are boxed into a corner. This car is never, ever going to change. It's never going to look different. It's going to have different stickers on it. It will always be the same and will become interesting, uninteresting. And that's exactly what began to happen. People began to lose interest. So they come out with this Gen 6 car, which is it looks different. It's going to change. It's going to stay appearing like the cars from the factory. And interest is back. Not tons, but it's coming back. At the very least, the cars look cool. Are Aero Kits going to do that? Probably not, because there's probably only going to be one aero kit that works. Whatever the maximum aero kit, whatever the best one is going to be the best one, and everyone's going to use it. Why would you use the cool-looking aero kit that has way too much drag and is slow? Whichever one is the fastest is going to be the dominant aero kit. There are going to be two different aero kits that look totally different, that are both equal in speed, approximately. Maybe there will be the high downforce one that gets you to the corners fast, and then the low drag one that gets you down the straightaways fast, and they'll both be in the middle somewhere. Maybe. Look, this is ranting's off the top of my head. Folks, recession is over. The years of like, oh my God, we got to cut back to make it through, and we're not going to make it through, and who knows what's going to happen. Is everything going to collapse, and Detroit's going to go bankrupt and all that? It's over. That's in the past. It's in the rearview mirror. And I know all of you, maybe not all of you, have 401ks and watch the stock market, but that thing is through the roof. And the further we get away from 2008, the better things are getting. And will there be a bump in the road? Of course, 2008 was a bump in the road. There's always going to be something else down the road. But the Indianapolis 500 has been around for 100 years in many different versions. It cannot just stay the way it is right now for the next 100 years. There cannot just be these cars that all look exactly the same, in this case, six-cylinder turbocharged cars, that the fans can't even see the difference, what makes the power. Fans can't even see what makes the power. Can't even see that. You don't even know. None of them know. It cannot stay this way for the next 100 years. It cannot stay this way for the next 5 years. Something has to change. What has to change? Innovation. Open up the floodgates. Let the American creative and worldwide creativity take root. If you don't have 33 starters, if only 22 guys want to show up to try to win the Indianapolis 500, well, as long as it's interesting and intriguing and something new and pushing the edge of technology, some guy with his electric car and some guy with his hybrid car and some guy with his battery car and some guy with his gas car, and they're all battling it out. Maybe some dude's got a solar car and he's out there trying to get it done by not pit stopping ever. Maybe we should let him. At least that would be interesting to tune in to the mainstream person. And it would be doing our civilization some sort of service. There you go. Indy 500 rant. Love to know what you think. 954-889-6796. And something that I am kind of...
I think you kind of like it.
Evolving myself. I'm evolving myself. A couple of years ago, I might not have said that. I am feeling this way about several different aspects of motorsports. I'm feeling this way. Now, one motorsport that gets it, you have to move forward. You cannot be stuck in place. You cannot freeze. You cannot stagnate, is Formula One. Grand Prix of Monaco this weekend. It's all right, Rich. Come out. Come out, buddy. Come out. You guys got a shot. I really think Fernando's going to win it, though. Why? I don't know, because I'm a Ferrari homer. I love V8s. Naturally aspirated V8s. But the folks over there at the FIA want to be technologically relevant. So going to V6s with turbochargers. But they're also going to engine recovery, power recovery, like the KERR system, kinetic energy recovery system. That, look at that. That's an innovation. They are evolving things. They are pushing technology into the future. You ever see Star Trek? You ever see Star Wars? You ever see any of these future movies? Space Odyssey? You got HAL out there. You got all these things. We got to get there. Racing cannot stay stagnant. And Formula One is trying to push forward. This rules package that's going to take place next year, when the cars come down pit road, instead of being on a rev limiter, they're going to be on a battery, electric powered.
Wow.
Do you like it? Do you not like it? I don't know. Maybe I'll hate it, but it's something new. It's fresh. It's exciting. They're moving the technology forward. And that's what we need to be doing. We're spending hundreds of millions of dollars for what? For what? To see who can run a strategy, can drive a car the same way the guy did the year before, the way the guy did before year before. Now, how have I gotten to this? Man, Bill Simpson's book, Through the Fire, I'm giving it three plugs for free, not a sponsor, not even done with it, talks about the innovation, and every week something new showing up at the racetrack. This. And the finest brains. You combine that with your opinion of America's golden age. When was our country at its best? When that stuff was happening. And a lot of people are talking about how our country here on Memorial Day weekend has maybe stagnated. Well, because we're not letting our creativity go nuts in one of our most passionate areas, auto racing. We're stifling everything. We're stifling all of our innovation. No, you got to be in a teeny tiny little box because it might cost you too much money. You know what? The people that are competing in these sports, I'm gonna make the call. They can afford it. You have any idea? Have you seen the buses? Have you seen the motorhomes? Have you seen the toter homes? Have you seen
the haulers?
The Bill Simpson book, they talk about how they would drive across the country in a station wagon with a car on a flat trailer to go run an IndyCar race to be in an IndyCar race. If it becomes super expensive, maybe they won't have $2 million motorhomes. Maybe the motorhomes will cost $400,000 and the extra money will go into the cars. You really think that all these racers are just going to say, ah, I'm not doing this anymore? Maybe new racers will evolve. Maybe new people, like I said, SpaceX or engineers or the people or these kids who are working on making their iPhone application to do something or some sort of gaming computer. Maybe they'll get involved.
The techies.
We're at a crucial time in our world history right now, in American history, in world history. Things are going, it's like there's been a frozen lake or something, and there's an iceberg that's grinding its way through. And at some point, it has to break open and allow the flow of creativity and innovation. And racing has always been at the forefront of creativity and innovation in the technological and engineering fields. Always. And now it's not. Now, right now it is in some ways, but it's not in some ways. You know, even tire technology, even fuel injection. NASCAR, finally, fuel injection, finally. A rudimentary throttle body style fuel injection, but finally. How about fuels? Remember when they used to run just gasoline, leaded gasoline in NASCAR? Now they're running a blend of ethanol. Did you notice? Do you care? Did
it
make the
terrible.
Racing any
the
better?
The cars
or worse?
Are so slow.
Tony Stewart with those couple of times with the fuel pump. How quick did they fix that? Has that been a problem? No. You know why? Evolution. They charged forward. They solved the problems. They created problems and they solved them because they're really smart people.
I think that was actually a parts failure that Joe Gibbs Racing was having that year.
It wasn't set up exactly right. It just wasn't quite.
It happened to both guys.
Set up right.
To Denny and Tony.
They figured it out. And that's what will happen. And that's what racers do. They're some of our best and brightest. They have done it for years. Bill Simpson, with his fire suit, set himself on fire. Look, I'll set myself on fire to prove that there's a better way. And he did.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And we're not doing that right now. We're not doing it. So going into Memorial Day weekend, here's where we're at. Racing in all forms needs to change, needs to adjust, needs to change, needs to move. Kids these days... Can you believe I'm saying that? Kids these days, they're not as interested in cars as they used to be because maybe they can't afford them or maybe they don't want them or maybe they can connect on the internet. I don't know. We got to get them interested. And I think those kids that are interested in problem solving, innovation, engineering, design, all the STEM things, science, technology, engineering, and math, all the areas and fields that are so desperately needed in our world, in our country, racing uses them all, but we're not really letting the creative juices flow. And so there you go. There's my IndyCar rant that's going on for on and on and on and on. Now we got to make our picks, Gio. We haven't made our picks. Bob Smith, boy, this has been such a bummer of a show. Hey, Tommy Noodles has abandoned the show, gone on walkabout, ignored us, not even putting in a pick. Bob Smith, same thing.
Incredibly.
And Rich York, at least we know Rich. Like, Rich, I have confidence in Rich.
No, we know he's moving. He's cowering under the bed because of Ferrari.
He's got a new baby.
How long can you
over a year.
Ride the... Yeah, come on.
For
the
a
new
year.
Baby
You're still
is.
Riding it.
I am not.
You're riding it.
No.
Riding it. Rich, I have confidence, will be back in the future with the hippie tippy. As soon as he hears this, he probably actually forgot or whatever. I think it's the kid.
I don't think he forgot.
No, he's definitely upset.
You can't blame it on the kid because he's had the kid all these weeks that he's been doing the show.
He's very upset. When we come back, we're going to make our picks for each of the big weekend races, but predominantly the Coca-Cola 600 this weekend, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races.
The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at Drag Racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Joining us now, Antron Brown. Now, you told me on Thursday you got the WFO Radio app. I did not know that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You got to have the WFO app, brother, so you can keep up. For people that just are a fan of the sport, all they got to do is throw on WFO if they miss the race, because you get to hear the side-by-side blows from the winners, everybody that was there. Got Al Reinhart on, and you do a great job. You know, I mean, you put out all the different perspectives of NHRA racing. I told you, not only am I just a professional racer in NHRA racing, I'm a fan of the sport, and I love it. And if you're a true fan, you got to have the WFO app.
For more with the stars of drag racing, download the WFO Radio app, available in the App Store or Android Market. Motorsports entertainment, full interviews with weekly winners, videos, push notifications, and more. Download it now.
Hey, racing fans, this is Big Dave Lemon, the host of Poker Action Line Radio. And I know you guys are big racing fans, but you probably like poker as well. So why not tune into a great poker show featuring interviews with poker stars and some of the greats of the game? That's Poker Action Line. You can find it on iTunes by searching Poker Action Line, or pick it up on our website at PokerActionLine.com.
WFO.
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 Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO.
Take me to the action. Take me to the track. Take me to a party. If they're threatening in the back, I've been working on my life. Can't afford to wait. Let me call my wife so I can tell her I've been late. I want to ease it.
Vegas, baby, Vegas! Vegas, baby, Vegas. It's that time of week once again. The WFO Radio Tailgate Party Handicappers will make our picks against the Las Vegas odds. Pick winners, baby. Pick winners. This evening it will be Great Giovanni in Miami and myself, Joe Costello. The average Joe Costello. Great Giovanni and average Joe doing the picking. Now, Bob Smith, I got to say, happy birthday to the Bob. The Bob is out there. It is his birthday. And in my estimation, that is why Bob is not joining us this week.
I would have to agree. I think Bob is still in celebratory mode.
And I'm okay with that. Tommy Noodles, on the other hand.
There's no excuse for Tommy.
It's just so sad.
Period.
Sunrise, sunset. Sunrise, sunset. Tommy Noodles. And here are the odds for the Coca-Cola 600. Now, we're going to make picks for against the odds for the Coca-Cola 600, but then we will also make our own personal picks for the Grand Prix of Monaco and the Indianapolis 500, okay? Here are the odds for the Coca-Cola 600 out there today. Jimmy Johnson is the 9-2 favorite. Kyle Busch and Matt Kenseth are both 6-1. Denny Hamlin is 7-1. Casey Kane is 8-1. Jeff Gordon, Carl Edwards, and Brad Keselowski are 12-1. And those are the drivers that are available for our favorite pick. Remember, it has to be less than 15-1. Now, here are the dark horses. We make a favorite and a dark horse pick each week. The dark horses are 15-1 or greater. Clint Bowyer, Martin Truex Jr., Greg Biffle, Kevin Harvick, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. are all 15-1. Then a big jump to 30-1 for Tony Stewart, 35-1 for Kurt Busch and Joy Logano, 60-1 for Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Mark Martin. Did you see Ricky and Danica sitting on the pit box, playing with their phones? I'm starting to like it. I think it's cute.
Yeah, you could have it.
I think it's cute that they're there, boyfriend and girlfriend, and there's music. They should have music that they play.
You're right, like the Keystone Capers or something. I like
it. Remember that old needle drop?
Yep.
The vomit drop? That would come in right there. Juan Montoya, 75-1. Jamie McMurray, 75-1. Trevor Bayne. All right, here's a list. These guys are all 100-1. Trevor Bayne, David Reagan, Eric Almirola, Jeff Burton, Danica Patrick, Marcus Ambrose, Paul Menard, Ryan Newman? and Regan Smith.
Woo!
All 101 field, any driver not yet named is 50-1, and those are the picks, or the odds, for the Coca-Cola 600. And speaking of picks, I go first. And first, let me say, if I was in Vegas and I was at the window, I would be betting differently than I'm picking now. We are restricted, speaking of restrictions, on the flow and the juices of creativity. I am restricted by the rules of this particular game. If I was out there, you can bet there would be money on Jeff Burton to win this race. Old school veteran. I would probably drop a couple of bucks on Jamie McMurray and probably a couple of bucks on Juan Montoya because the odds are really long. And this is a race that somebody usually finds a weird way of winning it. Right?
Didn't Casey Mears win one?
Yes, absolutely. Unlikely winners happen at the Coke 600 because of the extra factor in the race, an extra 100 miles. So that having been said, I would be placing all kinds of crazy wagers on this race.
I would too, but just for the record, Jeff Burton's not winning.
Jeff Burton could win.
He can.
He was close to the top five just a couple weeks ago. He is going to win another race. You're saying Jeff Burton's never going to win another race in his career?
I am not saying that, but right now the way that that team and...
He drove to the front a couple of weeks ago.
All right. It's fine.
Here are my picks.
He could win now that I said that.
Yes.
Especially now that
reverse Geo Jinx. We're not even going to bring that to the table. Look, favorite. Let's be honest. Jimmy Johnson. Give it to me. 9-2. Why? All those things I said at the start of the show. Not even going to waste any more time. Double J.
Six wins at Charlotte.
They're figuring out the car. They're good here. They obviously had a good hot rod this past week. Jimmy Johnson. Big time. And now my dark horse. This was very difficult because I thought about Kevin Harvick and I thought about Dale Jr. and I thought about Kurt Busch and I thought about all these guys. But I'm going, I want to go long odds. So I kind of did a compromise pick. Give me Joey Logano, 35-1. Take it to the bank, second in the All-Star race, got the track figured out, has had success here in the past. Give me Joey Logano.
Wow, all right.
Next up.
I like that.
The birthday boy, Bob Smith. Not with us. We'll see.
All right, hold on. Let me hear. Bob,
crickets,
any picks?
Crickets.
No picks from crickets. Bob this week.
Let's get the picks from Giovanni.
All right. Handicappers. We are here to continue to pick winners. We have been doing this pretty well, except for me and Tommy. The show has picked 8 winners in 12 races, and we are going to bring you another winner this week right here.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Jimmy Johnson pick. How can you go wrong? 6 wins. He's dominating right now. He won last week. That would make him odds-on favorite, which he is. But I'm going to go a little further down, and through some sort of geoism, I'm going with Denny Hamlin. Runs very well here, and I think he's going to win. I think he's got his head in the game. You know, the 600 miles on that sore back might be a little bit tough, but Denny Hamlin's going to find a way to win some races and get himself in the chase, and I think it starts right here this weekend.
I like the pick. I almost went with that pick, but the back, I feel like, by the end of the day, he's going to be feeling it.
Yeah, I was looking at Kyle, too, and KFK and all those guys there. You know, you expect those guys to be at the front. Anybody who ran well over the weekend here at the All-Star Race is going to be near the front. And for the long shot, I looked at the short guys right there, that are the 15-1s and Bowyer and Truex Jr. and Harvick. Yeah. I was really tempted to go right there, especially with the closer. And then I look down just 2 more slots further down there, and I see Tony Stewart at 30-1. And you know what I feel when I see that?
Disrespected.
No, embarrassed. Embarrassed. Where is the speed? Where is Stewart Haas racing? Where are they this year? Newman, 100-1? That's a shameful. Tony Stewart should be embarrassed. He should go over there and start cracking heads and figure out what's going on. I know what's going on here. This is part of the aftermath of firing our boy Grubby.
Wow. David Grubnik?
No, not that Grubby.
Oh,
Grubbs.
I'm sorry. There's only one Grubby.
I know.
Darian Grubb. I know.
But Darian Grubb.
There's Grubbs out there.
Darren Grubb. That's he got the short end of the stick.
Certainly hasn't.
You fired the guy who got you that championship and put you on that 10-race run that was unbelievable, but like no one has ever seen in the history of NASCAR.
Wow, you know what? That's an interesting point. That hasn't really been coming up.
No one mentions it. Why? Because everyone's afraid of Stewart.
What do you think about that? That's a big...
No, I directly say that something
karma?
Happened there.
You think it's karma?
I don't know if it's karma or just he kind of made a decision and decided that he had to go with it, even though it turned out that, hey, maybe it was the wrong choice. After that 10-race run, I just don't understand how they could have continued to just say, no, you know what? We made up our minds and this is the way we're going.
Break up the band, like we said. Break up the band. What about that?
It goes across sports. I seen it last year in baseball. The Washington Nationals sat that kid, Strasburg, in the middle of that run.
Big mistake.
And I told you then, this kid is great. He's young. And this team is playing really well. And they have this image that, oh, we'll be there every year. But you just don't know that. You can't take that for granted in sports, that you're going to be there every year, because you just don't know what the cards hold. And anyway, enough about my Tony Stewart rant. I was just ashamed and embarrassed at the way they're running all year. I looked at Kurt Busch at 35-1, and I was really, really tempted to go there. But I'm going to go with Jamie McMurray, 75-1. Bam! Long, long shot. I think that one of these guys is going to come out, and McMurray ran really well here. I'd say keep an eye on Juan Montoya, but Jamie McMurray, 75-1. There you go. Hamlin and McMurray.
Say what? Wow. Incredible. Geo takes Jamie McMurray. I like it. I like it.
It's a little out of the box, and I don't normally go with guys that I don't think can win, but
Side
I actually think he can win.
Filling in for Sterling Marlin, who was on en route to a championship that year.
Broke his back, or
you know who won the championship instead of Sterling Marlin?
Yeah, I do.
Who's that?
Who do you think? TS.
That's right. Sterling probably would have beat him.
He had the points lead. I think he probably would have won. If you take it back the way Sterling was driving that year, you can say he was having the best year.
He was having a very strong year. And it just, you know, a turn
That's
here,
That's the way they fall.
There.
You just never know what can happen at any point.
All right, and those are our picks for the Coca-Cola 600. But very quickly, since we like to do this on the show, let us segue now into the Indianapolis 500, where Ed Carpenter is on the pole with Fuzzy's Vodka as a sponsor. Carlos Munoz and Marco Andretti complete the front row. Talked a little bit about it earlier. A.J. Allmendinger also in the race, along with IndyCar regulars, champion Ryan Hunter-Reay, Elio Castroneves, Tony Kanaan, maybe TK will get his first win. A lot of great stories. Giovanni, I will let you go first. We do not have Vegas odds, so just a pick for the winner.
I've got some odds here up, and I'll take Hinchcliffe, and they got him at 9-1.
Really, you're going to take James Hinchcliffe?
Yep.
At 9-1. Geo takes Hinchtown. That would be really good for IndyCar racing. That's probably the best possible outcome.
He's had a good season. He runs well on the ovals.
Look, here's what it is. I hate to be like an old school racer type guy would probably want to smack me around for saying this. But the most important thing that happens in terms of growing the sport is the media tour afterwards. Who is interesting? Who can do a good job? Who can titillate the mainstream public out there and have them say, wow, this IndyCar thing might be interesting. Maybe I should watch. And the answer is Hinchtown. All right? Plus, he's a great driver. You don't accidentally win the Indy 500. So whoever it is, let's hope that they're interesting.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe I just want him to win because
that's
I think it would
is.
Be good for
you
IndyCar.
You definitely
it really
want him
would.
To win. I am going to make a pick that I've been thinking it's going to happen every year, and it comes really close, and then it doesn't happen.
Oh, I can tell now who it is.
Runs great. This is the place where he runs the best, and it's perfect. Just doesn't work out.
He should run great here.
Sign me up for Marco Andretti. Marco is going to get it done. Should have got it done in his first year. Was too conservative. Perfect example of the way you got to be in life. If you're thinking about examples of racing and life, Marco Andretti at his first Indy 500 is one to put in the back of your mind. You only get a couple of opportunities to be 200 feet away from the biggest win in the history of the world, and you may never get back there again. And Marco chose a certain path. I'm not criticizing it, but he should have blocked Sam Hornish a little harder than he did. And Hornish is now on Speed Report talking about, yeah, man, aha, I won. And Marco is struggling.
I am the greatest.
Marco throws that block. He becomes one of racing's biggest stars. The young Andretti goes out there and wins. His entire career trajectory is different. He might have won a championship, two championships. IndyCar racing could be very popular right now with an Andretti out there being successful. You never know how the space-time continuum is going to change. That having been said, he's always close here. He's always good here. If he's good anywhere, he's good here. Give me Marco.
Plus,
Andretti Autosport has been really strong this year.
They have.
Yeah. So, give me Marco. Marco Andretti wins the Indy 500 and maybe starts to turn this ship around, because that would be good to have an Andretti win at Indy. That's a big story. That's a story people care about. Get Mario out there. We'll get Michael out there. We'll start going crazy. Give me Marco Andretti, baby. Woo!
And I actually think AJ is going to run really well.
Allmendinger.
Yes.
I agree. He's hungry.
Good car.
Hungry.
He's hungry.
See, that's the thing that people don't understand.
He wants to show people that.
Hungry. And the Bill Simpson in the book, again, folks, one day I'm going to come in and just read quotes from it. This is a guy who can't say anything about anyone. He has earned it. He says today's drivers are soft and weak because of their parents, because they grew up in air-conditioned motorhomes with cars given to them by their rich parents. And they, like, hunger, like, what is it? Is it hunger? You have the desire to win? Why? Because, you know, someone's got to win, you can go out and win. What's hungry? Hungry is driving 12 hours through the night to be at a racetrack in the morning just to drive back at the next day for free. Spending money. That's hungry. The struggle, the domination, putting your life on the line. Not because, and this is Simpson's words, not mine. It's awesome, I think. I'm enjoying it. All right, next. I'm going to pass along to you. It's fantastic. It's a great book. Through the Fire. Grand Prix of Monaco. Let's try our best to be unbiased, okay? I'll pick first.
Okay.
Because you pick first for Indy.
That's fine.
Listen, I have thought about this with some really unbiased analysis. Grand Prix of Monaco, it's a wide-open affair. There's several drivers who could win. That having been said, after a thorough analysis, I'm going to pick Fernando Alonso.
That's great. I hope you're right.
Coming off a dominant win, coming off three races where they've been very quick. Their big problem is qualifying, and that's one thing. If one of those Mercedes get out there
it's
and qualifies out front,
here.
It's really hard to pass. But the Mercedes are slow, and I think they're all going to be able to get by them. And that's going to mix things up. I think things are going to be mixed up. I think we're going to have a very strong, fun, exciting Grand Prix of Monaco. I think Vettel is going to factor in. I think Weber is going to factor in. I think Felipe Massa is running the best he's been running. I think it's wide open, but a Ferrari win with Fernando Alonso, a big one, is due. And this is the year it happens. It's happening this weekend. Get ready. Lock it down.
Beep,
Rich,
beep, beep,
don't even bother coming out from under the bed, Rich. Don't even bother. Just stay there. Mrs. Dirty Hippie, slide him a tray of food underneath the bed in the fetal position. He's under there. Curled
like
up.
Like in solitary confinement.
Yeah. Fetaled.
Do some push-ups, Rich. It'll be good for you.
Yeah. Next, Giovanni.
Well, I gotta love your pick. I want nobody else to win but Fernando.
Yeah.
But for the sake of picking a different driver here.
You don't have to.
No. I'll pick Kimi to win.
The Kimster. Kimster is making a lot of noise right now, in fact.
Yeah,
a lot of people
talk about everybody wants a piece of Kimi.
He's got all kinds of options for 2014. He's locked into Lotus. It's a great story because Kimi has clearly been incredible.
Another guy that's showing superior driver ability.
Absolutely. But also very less than average decision-making ability because he could have had a championship or two. He certainly could have a lot more money had he stayed in Formula One. But he was like, oh, I don't like the politics of Formula One, and I want to be able to do whatever I want to do and whenever I want to do. So I'm going to go rally racing, and then I feel like that. I realize that I am not good at it. And so I come back to Formula One and realize that I'm very good at it. But, you know, of course, we always try to have what we cannot want, we cannot get. And so even though the pretty girl that you like and she is pretty, you do not want her. You want the beautiful girl that you cannot have. And for me, the pretty girl that I cannot have is rally racing. And, of course, I did Formula One for 3 years. But now he's back. And look, he's great at it. How was that Kimi? Was that okay?
It was great.
It was kind of close.
Not quite as cold.
Why, you know, why leave? Why leave? Why leave?
Dude, don't even question it. The guy is a little bit aloof.
Yeah, he is. He's aloof. I'm going to go
away. And
did
he leave, or maybe he was pushed out the same way Michael was pushed out?
What am I great at? I'm great at this. Okay, I'm going to go do something I'm not great at. I'm going to go do something I want to challenge.
Look, we've seen this.
I don't want to just win.
The precedent's been set.
I want to challenge myself.
Jordan decided to go play baseball in the middle of his career. Remember that? That was BS.
Yeah. And there you have it, folks. We made our picks. We've had some fun. We've been all over the place, just like Bobby Grand likes. He loves the fact the show can go in any direction. I didn't even get to tell all my Topeka stories. See, there's always something. People are like, you know, Joe, it's Topeka story.
The show's got the all-direction drive going.
Look, I'll give you one highlight from Topeka, Kansas that I probably should not share, but I will share it. I was in a Walgreens. I was buying my water and my stuff to stock my hotel room, right? And I had an interaction with the girl behind the counter. And I said to her, tell me something about Topeka, Kansas. You know, like, what's up around here? Tell me something. Because I like to mix it up with the locals. What's up, locals? Tell me about your town. Tell me about your spot. What's hot? What's going? Where can I go? What's the story? And I asked this young lady who seemed very nice, normal. I said, tell me about something about Topeka. What's going on here? She said, everyone's on crystal meth.
That's
like,
terrible.
Say what?
No, that's just everyone she knows.
Really?
That's how it works.
I was like, really? And she's like, big drug problems. Everybody out here.
It's probably the boredom. There's not a lot to do there.
I don't know. But, like, what are the odds that that's what she was going to tell me? I did not expect that.
You caught me by surprise.
There you go, folks. Sorry.
Did you have the barbecue?
I failed miserably on the food-o-meter. There was a place called Pete's Pig or something that I wanted to go. Didn't make it. I didn't make it to that little steakhouse that Spencer Massey told me about. I didn't make it anywhere. I ended up eating. Oh, you know where I ate? I did try, just because I always like to try. I ate at a supposed fast food burger and shake shack called Spangles. Maybe if you're from the area, you know about it. Spangles. They got like cars, and it looks like something out of Happy Days and everything. And I went there specifically to try something from Topeka area.
And?
Not really.
Not that great.
The burger. I asked the guy for the special. Like, what is your best thing? He said, get this. I tried it. Yeah. Not Five Guys. Yeah,
oh,
Five Guys is way better.
Oh.
But, I mean, this is a big elaborate place with all kinds of decorations on the walls and stuff. Fancy chrome. And
they gave you atmosphere.
They
gave
did.
You food.
They did. But it was voted best fast food burger by someplace.
Well, you should be grateful you didn't go anywhere else.
They had a banner up. What are they going to do? All right, folks, thanks for listening to our show here on WFO Radio. The WFO Radio app, remember, it's free, 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 free. You can gift it to your friends, and thanks to all our loyal listeners out there. And most importantly, this weekend, why are we doing this? Memorial Day weekend, to honor those who have paid the ultimate price for our great nation. We cannot thank them enough, and thank you for listening.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.